Hi, my name is Leslie Johnson, and I'm a believer in Jesus Christ who struggles with past alcoholism. And what that looks like for me these days is having a critical spirit, control, self-sufficiency, and unbelief. Hey. When I was asked to speak on the victory lesson, I initially thought, who am I to speak on victory? Won't I sound like a hypocrite since I struggle mightily with so many issues? Where's the victory in all my junk? I'm not fixed yet. I have come to realize, though, that I am a work in progress, just as God has planned. It is by His perfect and saving grace, and not by anything I can ever do, that saves me from a life of sin. Romans 5:8, but God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. As I look back on the last 4 to 5 years that I've been involved with CR, I can see more and more clearly how God is at work in my life. He is revealing in His perfect timing the obstacles that I continually put in the place of my most important victory, my relationship with a God who loves me more than I could ever understand. And as I work on these obstacles with His help, I see that I have experienced victory in my struggles with sin. My family moved to Texas when I was in second grade. While I basically grew up here, I still call Tennessee home. You haven't seen anything until you've seen the Smoky Mountains in the fall. I am third out of 4 children, all 4 years apart. My mom was an alcoholic, and my dad traveled a lot for work. Our home was not a peaceful place, and there were many times when I felt alone and on my own. Where was I on my parents' radar? Did they even notice me? Not surprisingly, as an adult, I have struggled with feeling lost on God's radar, too. Does He notice me, hear me, see me, and truly know the desires of my heart? Thankfully, I'm learning that yes, He most definitely does. While my parents were imperfect, as all human beings are, I have come to learn the character of my perfect Heavenly Father. Growing up, I felt the need to control whatever circumstances I could in order to lessen my anxiety and fear of the unknown. I masked my fear of abandonment and loneliness with drinking, drugs, and boys. As an adult, I turned to materialism and began buying into the enemy's lie that more is better and what I had was never good enough. I didn't know to trust God, and instead I trusted in myself. I would also give away lots of power to whomever was in my life at the time, making them another type of idol. I would also try to control and manipulate those around me in order to gain acceptance and a feeling of significance. My sin pattern of distorted self-reliance would flip to codependency, and I didn't know which way was up sometimes. Even though this continues to be a struggle for me, I am experiencing victory with control by learning how to trust God. He is revealing the idols I have in my life that block me from a relationship with Him. Even though I have been and still can be a stubborn fool, He has shown me time and time again that He is completely trustworthy. I was married for 18 years and had 2 terrific children with my ex-husband. I was drinking and doing drugs the first half of our marriage, and our lives were marked with betrayal on many levels. We led parallel lives filled with false intimacy and self-centeredness. Our divorce was devastating, however, and I was lost in all those emotions surrounding it. During that season of pain, I began to seek out God, began attending Watermark, and came to realize I needed something much bigger than myself to help me heal. I initially came to CR about 5 years ago to learn how to forgive my ex-husband and seek freedom from the toxic resentments that were absolutely killing me. Through work in the steps, especially step 4, I was able to see my part in my marriage dissolving and eventually make amends to my ex-husband and ask for his forgiveness for the hurts that I caused. We get along well today and for the most part try to work together in co-parenting our children. Only a living, loving God can make that possible in my life. This is such a testimony to God's grace and the power of forgiveness that I am frequently amazed by it. I am grateful that He continues to do a mighty work in me, oftentimes in spite of me. Again, victory. I have been married now for 2.5 years to my husband, Chris. I met him at Watermark, a Christian man seeking after God. I thought marriage the second time around would be a breeze, especially to someone who had a relationship with Christ. I had been married before and knew what didn't work. I am older and wiser now, right? Wrong. Older, yes, but not a lot wiser when left to my own devices. Oh, pride is an ugly thing indeed. Chris and I could have opened a luggage store with all the baggage we brought into our marriage. Yes, we had a matching set, but they had secret compartments, each with locks. Thankfully, he is involved in CR2 and is seeking to honor the Lord. And we have accountability with some great couples who challenge and spur us on. My marriage to Chris is also a victory of sorts because God has provided me with a husband who is relational and has a servant's heart. He continues to seek Christ in all that he does and pursues me relentlessly. He puts up with my junk on a daily basis, and I feel sure that the Lord blesses him for that alone. What I may see as weakness in my husband is actually my own prideful and hard heart at times. He has a gentle, quiet spirit and an unfailing desire to learn how to lead our family well, and this speaks volumes. I'm not used to those qualities, and I certainly don't always want to step aside and let Chris be Chris. In my sweet, controlling way, I often try to change the way he operates, speaks, coughs, tells a story, eats, and unfortunately the list goes on and on. I know, right? What I see as passivity or indecisiveness are actually patience, being a good listener, and him acting on a spirit-led desire to honor me and our family. So often, my critical spirit prevents me from recognizing these great attributes of his or recognizing God's designs for our marriage. When I'm not living in the light and hearing God's truth on a regular basis, I spiral out, and so does our marriage. God is present in this marriage, and I do want to honor him in the victories we celebrate along the way. Thankfully, I have wonderful women in my life who encourage, challenge, and direct me back to God's truths when I so often want to blame my husband or my circumstances for my unhappiness. The common denominator with dissatisfaction and ungratefulness in my life has been me. It is I who need changing and not my husband. Ooh, that was hard to say. But the truth can hurt sometimes. One of my friends recently pointed out to me the difference in hearing, knowing, and in believing God's word. I hear truths all the time, but if I'm not a doer of God's word, then it doesn't pierce my heart. James 23:25, anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. It is hard for me to admit that after being a believer for so long, I can still struggle with unbelief. I want to trust God in my heart, but my head gets in the way. His promises were made for everyone, including me, and I am on his radar. I am learning to believe this more and more. I am told in Scripture that trust and obedience go hand in hand. In the book of 1 Samuel in the Old Testament, Saul wanted to please God with his sacrifice. He thought this would please God enough to give him success over Israel's enemies. But God says that to obey is better than sacrifice, and he knew that Saul's obedience would be evidence of his trust. I too am called to trust and obey God's precious truths. I often try to please God my way, and I just get in the way of the Holy Spirit at work in me. Can I simply trust and accept where he has me in life? Trust his divine plan for me? Trust him with me? I'll confess that seems too passive and ambiguous for me. To simply lay down my struggles and sins at Jesus' feet feels like I'm getting away with something. Sometimes it feels like weakness to leave my sins at the cross. I need to be involved in the process. I want to do something more, like take action, get my point across, be understood, have a plan. Experience has shown me that all that does is make me crazy and anxious. But if I'm dependent on God, then what happens to me in the process? Am I lost on the radar again? My control kicks in and I say to God, okay, meet my needs, but on my terms. It feels like such a loss of control to trust God with myself. My problem is that I make God too small. I know he can handle the biggies, the Red Sea, Israel, and the resurrection of Christ, but it is difficult for me to trust that he is personal enough to care as much about the details of my life as I do. And it's difficult for me to accept that his plans for my life might look different than the plans I have made. C.S. Lewis pointed out that we're not just imperfect people who need growth, but we're rebels who need to lay down our arms. Pain and suffering are frequently the means by which we become motivated to finally surrender to God. That has certainly been true for me. Today I can see God's hand in my painful times, and he is always with me. He is walking beside me now as we face my sins together, And for me to be able to realize that is huge victory. He is big enough to raise Christ from the dead, heal broken, sinful people, and small enough to help me trust him. He wants me to lay my struggles with trust and control at his feet. I am learning to stop striving to be better for God, to stop asking the why questions that drain my mental energy and keep me from moving forward. I am already, as a believer, I am already godly in his eyes. It's in the makeup that he gave me. In fact, 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. God has already changed me from the inside out. It's okay for me to accept that, to know it, and to go with it, even though I don't understand it. I once read about a caterpillar and a butterfly that illustrates this point. A scientist will look at a caterpillar and tell you it looks like a caterpillar on the outside, but it is really a butterfly on the inside. Its DNA says so. It is changing and maturing into a butterfly, but the core is already there, has been all along. And that's how it is with me and God. He has wired me to be Christ-like. He is growing and maturing me throughout my life to become what he already knows that I am. He just asks that I join him in believing what he already knows is true. Philippians 1:6, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Thank goodness he's not through with me yet. I'm a work in progress, and God designed me that way, and that's been a huge aha moment for me. In the victory lesson, there is a Principle 5 prayer, and I've actually had this written on an index card on my dashboard for some time. It reads, Dear God, show me your will in working on my shortcomings. Help me not to resist the changes that you have planned for me. I need you to direct my steps. Help me stay in today, not get dragged back into the past or lost in the future. I ask you to give me the power and the wisdom to make the very best I can out of today. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. I need Christ in my life. I need him to help me. I cannot do this journey by myself, and God never intended for me to. You either. If you are new or old to CR, you are on the path to many victories. God has a mighty plan for each of us, and we can celebrate his mercies and our victories anew every day. He can and wants to heal our brokenness. He will continue to mature and grow us as long as we let him in. His promise of salvation and love is a gift beyond compare. Romans 8:24-25 says, For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. In closing, I came across this quote by John MacArthur that I'd like to share with you. And it's pretty cool because we just sang about it at the beginning, and I didn't know that song was going to be up there, so that's really neat. The quote goes like this, If we could condense all the truths of Christmas into only three words, these would be the words, God with us. We tend to focus our attention at Christmas on the infancy of Christ. The greater truth of the holiday is his deity. More astonishing than a baby in the manger is the truth that this promised baby is the omnipotent creator of the heavens and earth. We serve a mighty God indeed. Thanks so much for listening to my story.